Bibles, we would like, if you would, to turn to the 28th chapter of Genesis. Beginning at verse 10, I read verses 10 through 14, supporting scripture coming from Hebrews 13 and 8. The Bible reads in Genesis 28, verse 10, "And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place, and tarried there all night, because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place, and put them for his pillows, and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. Behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac, the land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." Supporting scripture this morning, Hebrews 13 and 8, very familiar pastor said, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. "And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed." On the basis of those verses, we like to use a thought of subject this morning. The blessings of God will never die. The blessings of God will never die. You're happy and you know it, you ought to say amen. Hallelujah. So happy, Jesus. So happy. So happy. So happy, Jesus. So happy, Jesus. So happy, Jesus. So happy.
I got a brand new choice since Jesus came in my life.
So happy, Jesus.
I'm a brand new me.
So
with the Spirit.
Fall down on you.
Make it rhyme. Hey, when the Spirit fall down
on you.
Make it rhyme. Hey, if you're happy,
when the Spirit
and you know it,
fall down on you.
Say it. Say it.
Amen. Amen. So happy, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Truly, we thank the Lord this morning for the Spirit of Christ that abides in this place. Hallelujah. If anybody know you're happy, you ought to know that there is no joy without you actually knowing something about it yourself. The songwriter said, if you're happy and you know it, then you ought to say amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. We got a lot to be happy about this morning. For truly the Lord is in this place. God is blessing. God has kept us. And yet we owe him all of the praises. We are thankful to God for the choir this morning, for you, the people of God that have come to the ministers of the gospel and to all of those that have a mind to just lift up the name of Jesus. Those that decided that I want to be in the house of God. I want to be in fellowship this morning. Because we got to understand that we come to a place in life where we have choices. And in those choices, we have to decide what we are going to do. And a lot of times we find other reasons and other people to blame why we are not doing what we need to be doing. But at the end of the day, it's all about you. Every man, every woman got to work out his own soul salvation. So if you're aware, if you think that there's someone that's hindering you from being all that God wants you to be, then you need to separate yourself. You need to do something and ask God to help you to be able to do the things that God would have you to do. We are blessed by the best this morning, and God has allowed us this opportunity only because of his love and his mercy to just be with us one more time. The love of a merciful God that has kept us another week's journey and allowed us this space and this time to come this morning to fellowship one with another. I'm thankful to God, and I'm truly happy just to be in this place one more time, rejoicing and giving God thanksgiving and praise, because as David once said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. You see, we got to understand that when we talk about praising God, it's an ongoing process. We talk about ministry, it's an ongoing process. If we can't agree on anything else, we ought to be able to know beyond a fact of a doubt that God has been good to all of us. His mercy and his goodness is universal, and he has no race barriers. He has no respect of persons. He has no respect of your social status. See, sometimes you think because you got a lot that you are better than other folk, but having a lot just means that you got a lot. It doesn't make you any better than anybody else. One thing about it is that nothing that you have can praise God for you. Even your children, they can't praise God for you. They're praising God for themselves. So you got to get to a place where you're going to work out your own soul salvation. You're going to thank God for the goodness and the mercy that he has shown towards you. And then just know that he is just such a blessing God. He's a God that has done more for us than anybody else will ever do. And then we know that we serve a God this morning that he blesses the just as well as the unjust. So none of us have anything to boast about. Everything that I got, God did it. I'm one that can say this morning, if it had not been for the Lord who was on my side. Is that anybody's story in here this morning? That if it hadn't been for God on your side, if it hadn't been for him coming in just when you needed him the most. Somebody said that he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Now there's somebody that got some doubt in their mind because they've been waiting on God to do some things. And God just hadn't came just yet, so the enemy had you doubting as to whether God is going to come. So when you hear that old cliche, it's more than a cliche. It's a fact that he might not come when you want him, but he is an on-time God. And a lot of times you got to understand that his own time may not be lined up with your time, but you got to line up with his time. You didn't make him, he made you. Too many times we want to tell God what to do, and we want to act like he owes us something, but we got to know that God does not owe us anything. Hallelujah. I thank God for that song what women sing sometimes. If the Lord never does anything else, he has already done enough. Somebody this morning that is going through would like to say, well, I beg to differ. Because he just hadn't done enough for me just yet. There's still some things that I need. There's still some things that I need to have worked out in my life. But I just want to let you know, don't give up. Don't allow the enemy to cloud your judgment. And don't allow him to get in the way of your progress. Because you got to know that you belong to a loving God. And you got to know that God loves you despite who you are. The Bible teaches us that it's by grace that we are saved, not by any of our own merits. So it don't matter how good you think you are. You know, sometimes we think that we are all of that. We think that we are better than other folk. And then sometimes it's not that you think that you're better than other folk. It's just that you think that I have already arrived. Your testimony is I'm saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, fire baptized, and I'm on my way to glory, but you don't speak to your neighbor. So there's something wrong with that picture. You're always judging one another. You're always looking down your nose at somebody. But I found out that if you just learn how to look up to the hills. Anybody in here ever try looking to the hills? What's up there in those hills? I found out that all of my help. Am I going to get any help in here this morning? All of my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. What God has for me is for me. Without him, I could not move. It's because of him that we have our very being. It's because of him that when I open this mouth of mine, a sound will come out. And I thank God. I thank because I need to let you know and to remember that we all belong to God. All you got to do, all he had to do was just open his mouth. And he spoke things into existence. As we continue our studies in the book of beginnings, it starts off by saying in Genesis 1, 1 and 2, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Then the Bible says, and God said. Just that simple. And God said, let there be. And everything came to existence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the Bible declares that there was nothing. There was just darkness. There was a voidness. And nothing seemed to have any form. You couldn't tell a tree from a flower. You couldn't tell a flower from a bird. All of those things just had not been created just yet. But then God, in his mighty spirit, moved upon the waters, because we refer sometimes to darkness as evil and sin. And God had to change some things. So he decided that I am able to make light, and all God had to do was just say a word. He is the source and the cause of all things. He created everything that we know about. And then when we think about the creations of God, we got to understand that God created things at a time when it was so far back that things was not being recorded as far as things that dating of events. Everything was and is in God's own power and in his plan. There are those of us that God has a plan for you in your life. And when we consider the wonders of his marvelous creation, we should sometimes sit in awe at the power and the majesty of God. Sometimes when we talk about being God-fearing, that the beginning, the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. So if you want to really be somebody, you got to learn how to reverence God for who he really is. You got to know that he is God eternal. He is the God that can make things happen. He is the God that we've been talking about, that there is nothing too hard for him. You can't decide what you believe to be too hard and then those things that you believe that he can just do automatically. You got to have the mindset that I don't care what I'm going through in my life. There is nothing that the God that created me, that created this whole earth, cannot do. I am in the hands of a mighty God. And as long as I'm in God's hand, the Bible declared that no man can pluck me out. Now, there may be somebody to push me down, but I'm going to get back up. Get back up knowing that the God that I serve will renew that strength that we have lost. He is a God that can do what nobody else can do. That's why it's so important that the men of Israel knew just who God was. We realize when we go back in the times of history that the children of Israel, as their sons and daughters, one of the greatest blessings was to have an offspring. Had to have somebody to be an heir, somebody that will pick up where you leave off. Don't you know that you are not here to stay? Every one of us has an appointed time that we are going to have to leave. And then we got to understand that we serve a God that, because he blesses us, his blessings will never die or cease. Everything he promised to Abraham, he has passed down through Abraham's generations. God's promise is that everything that he said that he would do for Abraham, he's going to do for the offspring of Abraham. It's just like when your mama and daddy set you down and taught you how to pray and told you that the Lord will make a way and told you, look how far God has brought me, so that you would understand and know that in your generation, the same God that brought mama over will bring me over. The same God that blessed our ancestors that had little than nothing but had a whole lot because they had the power of a mighty God. Anybody hear me this morning? The same God that said that I'll be there with you until all of these things come to pass. You see, when God sets you out to do something, he's not going to leave you out there hanging. You got a whole lot of folk that say that I'll be with you. I'll stand by you. I got your back. And what they do is just stand behind you and wait on you to fall. Most of the time, when they see you on the decline, they're not even going to extend an arm to try to catch you. You ought to at least try to help somebody break their fall. I can't hold you up. I may not can't catch you, but maybe I can break the fall to where you don't get hurt just as bad. There are so many times that we fail to realize how much power we got. Because we are too busy thinking that I can't do. But I don't want to have that mentality. I don't want to have the mindset that I can't do something. I want to be brave enough and courageous enough to know that I can do all things through Christ who gives me my strength. Because the same God that I'm talking about this morning, he blessed men and women before me, and he promised that he will continue to bless all of us. Did not he say, I will never leave you, neither will I forsake you? So you got to trust the power of God. Paul says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. But as you back up a few verses, it also said, let your conversation mean your manner of life be without covetousness. Don't worry about having money. Don't worry about what you don't have. All you got to worry about is know that you belong to a God that supply every one of your needs. How many of you ever said in your life, the Lord is my shepherd? I ain't talking to nobody in here. If you know God to be your shepherd, don't let nobody tell you what your shepherd can't do. Do you know the job of the shepherd? It's the job of the shepherd to watch over the sheep. It's the job of the shepherd to protect the sheep from all hurt, harm, or danger. It's the job of the shepherd that when you see me going in the wrong direction, then the shepherd take his staff and grab me by the neck and pull me back in line. Now, do you know who the shepherd is? The Lord is my shepherd. Hallelujah, Jesus, I shall not want. Everything I need, God's got it. Paul said he shall supply all of your needs. Hallelujah, Jesus. Don't you know who you serve this morning? You serve a God that has all power. And I thank God for being that kind of God. You got to learn how to stay focused. Don't allow the enemy to get you sidetracked. Just because you're having a little trials and tribulations, everybody goes through something. You might even have some sickness in your body, but you're not the only one sick. He healeth all of thine diseases. Oh! All you got to do is name them off. We take an inventory this morning. That's everything that they got almost. We got it right in here. But we're still happy. We're still blessed. Still under the watchful eye of a mighty God. Still belong to a God that's a doctor that's never lost a case. Hallelujah. I'm feeling it. In our studies of Abraham, he was blessed beyond measure, having the love and the loyalty because he was a man of God. Abraham was so blessed, and God trusted him so much because he knew that Abraham had great faith. But Abraham realized that because I got faith in God, there was a time that Abraham's faith was tested by God. This is the same Abraham that we've been talking about over the last several weeks that had the son when he was 100 years old. Now, his son was named Isaac, and now Isaac is blessed, and Isaac has gotten to be an old man. But Isaac remembered that the Lord God let him know that the same promise that I made to your daddy, I'm going to do the same thing for you. Hallelujah. So that's what I'm talking about this morning, that God's blessings will never die. And the reason they don't die is because your blessings don't go to the grave. your blessings is off in your offsprings. And they in their offsprings and their offsprings after that. So that's why you began to think, why does the Bible say we get weaker and wiser? We ought to have been learned something by now. So as you learn, as you talk more to your children, they are more intelligent. They hear a whole lot more. They see a whole lot more. So they're wiser than what you was when you were their age. But you will be the first one to tell them, I done still been through some things that you got to go through. See, just because you wise, that don't mean you know everything. That's most of our problems anyhow. Some of us think we know everything. Can't nobody tell us nothing. But you know, I found out how to fight my battles. I'm not going to fight you if you don't want it. You don't want to be blessed, don't be blessed. You don't want to say thank you, don't say thank you. Don't nobody know, but you know how God has blessed you and brought you a mighty long way. How many of you remember those times when you had hunger pains and God somehow or another made sure you had something in your stomach? We got a lot to be thankful for this morning, but here we are here in the life of Isaac now. But let us look. Came to pass that Isaac was old. His eyes have gotten dim. Isaac couldn't see very well anymore. Isaac realized that I'm on my deathbed. So Isaac realized I got some responsibilities because I do have some offspring. And in my offsprings, I have a set of twins, Esau and Jacob. Now, the Bible said that he said unto him, behold, here am I. Bible says, he said, behold, now I'm old and I don't even know what day I'm going to die, but I know that it's soon to come. Now, Isaac is talking to his son from his deathbed. Now, therefore, what I need you to do, I want you to take all of your weapons and the quiver and your bow and go out in the field and get me some venison, because you know how I love that venison meat. And I love the way that you have that gravy on it. I need you to bring it to me because this might be my last meal. But, son, let me tell you something. When you bring me this meal, today I'm going to bless you. Today, I'm going to let you know, and I'm going to let God know that I release everything he gave me to you. I got to give it up. But the Bible said Rebecca, his wife, heard him, and, you know, she loved Isaac. She loved the children. She loved Isaac, but she also realized that I got two boys, but one of them a little closer to my heart than the other. And same difference that here is Isaac laying there, and one of them a little closer to him than the other. You see, you got Esau, that one that was out there in the fields, and the hunter, and the one that could go out and get the venison, and he was actually the elder that was supposed to get the blessing. But now here's Jacob being loved by his mother, and you know mama hear everything. When you think mama sleep, mama listening. And whatever going on, mama gonna respond when her own time. So mama pulled Jacob to the side, said, Jacob, look here. I just heard your daddy talking to Esau. And what he's going to do, he's going to give him the blessing today. But what we going to do, we going to trick him. But what we going to do, you go, I'm going to get some venison and I'm going to fix it for you. You don't know how to do that. You know how sometimes you got some mama that sort of just takes some of them and put them up under their wing and they don't have to worry about doing certain things because mama going to take care of that. That's why some of us ain't much good because mama been taking care of too much. Every now and then, mama got to let you go and let you fall and let you realize that in order for you to be the man that God wants you to be, you got to know how to be hungry. You got to know how to be fall down. You got to know how to look around and don't see mama nowhere and know that God is going to come to your rescue. I had to throw that out there for somebody. I don't know who it was for. But anyway, let's get back to Jacob. Jacob and Rebecca's having this little conversation. And after they finished with the conversation and they go, the Bible says, Jacob said unto his father, and he came to his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I. Who art thou, my son? Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau. Is that not a lie? Daddy on his dying bed. We look at it in one way, but the reality is it's still all in God's plan. Because we got to understand Isaac was that son of promise.
That's why it really sort of startled Abraham when God put him to the test, when he told him, go and kill your son, your only son, that last son that you love so much, kill him. Abraham passed the test. So the blessings are still going on through. Now the Bible says, and she gave him the meat and the bread, and now he went in and he's lied to his father. He said, I am Esau, thy firstborn. I've done according as thou badest me to do. I've gotten up and I've went and got the venison, and now my soul have come to bless thee. Isaac says unto his son, how is it now that you found it so quickly? Most of the time, when you go out hunting, you don't get back this quick, but today all of a sudden you're back, but you know, when you got what you want. He did ask the question, but he didn't ponder it. He didn't press him. He didn't demand an answer. He just asked the question. Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, that I may feel thee, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. So that might lead you to believe that Isaac had some suspicions. You know your children. We may all have that same little slang and this, that, and ain't, and the other, but you know who saying ain't. So Isaac was nobody's dummy. Isaac says unto Jacob, come near, that I may feel thee, my son. And Jacob went near unto Isaac, his father. He felt him and he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are hands of Esau. You see, the trick was they had put some hair on Jacob because Esau was a very hairy man. Jacob didn't have very much hair, so in order for them to pull it off, they put some hair. So when he felt him, he realized, or he thought, this just might be Esau. And he discerned him not because his hands were hairy. Now, this lets us know that the voice sounded strange. Isaac had some suspicions. But because when he put him to the test and he felt the hair on his hands, the Bible said that he discerned him not, so he didn't figure it out. And he said, I thou my very son Esau. And he said, I am. And he said, bring near to me my venison, that my soul may bless him. And he did eat. He ate it, and after he ate it, his father Isaac said unto him, come near now and kiss me, my son, because I got something I got to tell you. And he kissed him, and he smelt him, and he smelt his raiment, and he blessed him. And he said, see, the smell of my son is the smell of a field which the Lord have blessed. So I believe Jacob done threw on some of Esau's clothes. You ever had any brothers to go in there, and you think you got something, and they already got it on and gone? So he smelt just like Esau. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee. This is the blessing. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Let them be lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that cursed thee, and blessed be he that blessed thee. It came to pass as soon as Isaac had made an end of his blessings to Jacob. Jacob was yet scarcely gone out of the door in the presence of Isaac, his father, when all of a sudden Esau, his brother, came in from hunting. Esau came in, and you got to realize Esau want to know what's going on. I've come in and I got the venison that my daddy sent me out to the get, but I realize that now daddy is not hungry. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, where is he that hath taken venison and brought it to me? And I have eaten of all that he had brought, and I have blessed him. Yet he shall be blessed. The Bible said, when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceedingly bitter cry, said unto his father, bless me, even me also, my father. In other words, Esau realized that I done lost my birthright. I'm mad now because my brother done betrayed me. I'm mad because I realize that out of all that I've done, out of everything that I tried to do, I don't have a birthright anymore.
I did what my daddy told me to do. I've been out there hunting and I got the venison, but now he's already blessed Jacob. And Lord, daddy, I need you to bless me too. Anybody ever went and saw that one child get something and the other child said, Betty, I want something too. You got to learn how to, what you do for one, you got to do for the other. Say, I don't know about you, but it makes me feel bad. If I do something for one, I just got to do it for the other. You don't want the one child to feel bad because it seems like you love one better than you love the other. Even though sometimes you may be a little more partial to one, you still got to treat them all just like the same. So here we are looking at brother Esau is very upset now. Esau said, when I get my hands on Jacob, I'm going to tear him up. Yep. Esau said, in act, I'm going to kill Jacob. Jacob done took my birthright. I don't know what's wrong with mama. Mama helped him take my birthright. But I got some problem with what's going on, and I'm going to get Jacob. Well, you know, I told your mama he everything. Mama heard what Esau was saying, so mama pulled Jacob by the ear. Said, Jacob, it's time for you to get out of Dodge. Your brother done got mad, and he going to kill you. What I want you to do, go down there and stay with your uncle for a few weeks. Let him cool down a little bit, and maybe he won't hurt you so bad. You know how it is. When you're mad and angry, you'll do something. But if you just take a little time out to just settle down, think about what the Lord has done. Think about how good God is. Think about what the Lord would do. Would the Lord roll back his fence? Or would the Lord just do what thus saith the Lord our God? So I find now that Jacob is standing there, realizing that I got to get out of Dodge. And as he's leaving, his mama said, when you get down there with your uncle, I want you to find a wife. Because if you marry a woman up on this end, I'm not going to be nowhere. Nobody going to be able to take care of me. So you got to stay in the lineage of what God has prepared for us. So now here we see that Jacob is gone on this journey. Well, now while he's out there on the journey, he's getting a little bit tired walking all by himself. The Bible says he sat down and he found some rocks. He took the stones and he made himself a pillow. The Bible says he laid his head down on the pillow and he went off fast asleep. And he went asleep, he began to dream a dream. In the dream, he saw the stairway from heaven. It was just like a ladder from heaven all the way down to the earth. Angels descending and ascending up and down on it. And he realized that this is the power of a mighty God. The Bible says he began to hear the word of the Lord. And the Lord said, I want to let you know, Jacob, that I'm going to do for you what I did for your daddy. This ground that you're laying on right now, you're going to inherit all of this land. You're going to have many nations after you. I'm going to do just what I told you that I'm going to do. I'm going to keep on your blessings all alive. And ain't nobody going to hinder you from getting your blessings. When Jacob woke up early in the morning, he realized that this must be the place of God. For God stopped by to see me last night. And when God stopped by to see me, he told me that everything was going to be all right. I stopped by to let somebody know this morning that the blessings of God will never die. Whenever God bless you, he'll bless your mother too. He'll bless your grandson, your great-grandson, your great-great-grandson, and on thereafter. I thank my God this morning that the blessing he bestowed upon all of us have been passed down through generations. And what the Lord has for us this morning, it is for us. Do know this morning that the blessings that God has for you, they are never going to die. That they're going to live on and on. Because if you die as a believer, the Bible said you shall live and never die. So that's what I'm trusting this morning. That I'm going to live with the power of God. I know this morning that the blessings of God will never cease. They're not going to die because he has put them in a place where they'll be passed on from one generation to the next generation. We've seen the story of Abraham go all the way through all the prayer partners that we heard about as we were growing up. Abraham, Isaac, and now here's Jacob with the same promise. What I promised your daddy, I'll give unto you. The blessings that I have, they will never die. Because of the power of a mighty God, God is able to do what nobody else can do. All you got to do is trust him this morning. And then you got to know that God has a plan. Even though Jacob sort of went about it in a sort of offbeat way, it still fell in God's plans. Because look at God. God is able to bless Isaac to the point to where he was able to say, not only are you going to be blessed, but I'll bless you, Esau, also. Wherever you go, the Lord will be with you. Jesus Christ, the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's an unchanging God, and he shall never, ever die.